ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಗವದ್ಗೀತಾ ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ 12 ಭಕ್ತಿ ಯೋಗ ಶ್ಲೋಕಾಸ್ 3 and 4. ಯೇ ತ್ವಕ್ಷರಂ ಅನಿರ್ದೇಶ್ಯಂ ಅವ್ಯಕ್ತಂ ಪರ್ಯುಪಾಸತೆ ಯೇ ತ್ವಕ್ಷರಂ ಅನಿರ್ದೇಶ್ಯಂ ಅವ್ಯಕ್ತಂ ಪರ್ಯುಪಾಸತೆ ಸರ್ವತ್ರಗುಂ ಅಚಿಂತ್ಯಂ ಚ ಕೂಟಸ್ಥಂ ಅಚಲಂ ಧ್ರುವಂ ಸರ್ವತ್ರಗುಂ ಅಚಿಂತ್ಯಂ ಚ ಕೂಟಸ್ಥಂ ಅಚಲಂ ಧ್ರುವಂ ಸನ್ನಿಯಮ್ಯೇಂದ್ರಿಯಗ್ರಾಮಂ ಸರ್ವತ್ರ ಸಮಬುದ್ಧಯಃ ಸನ್ನಿಯಮ್ಯೇಂದ್ರಿಯಗ್ರಾಮಂ ಸರ್ವತ್ರ ಸಮಬುದ್ಧಯಃ ತೇ ಪ್ರಾಪ್ನುವಂತಿ ಮಾಮೇವ ಸರ್ವಭೂತಹಿತೇ ರತಾಃ ತೇ ಪ್ರಾಪ್ನುವಂತಿ ಮಾಮೇವ ಸರ್ವಭೂತಹಿತೇ ರತಾಃ. ಸೋ ಕೃಷ್ಣ he talks about the nirguna bhakta in these 2 shlokas, and he says that they will certainly reach me, that is moksha. In the Gita context, when Gita says me, when Krishna, wherever he mentions me, it means moksha. So or para prakriti, whatever, or para brahman, whatever, chaitanya. So who are nirguna bhaktas? He says ಯೇ ಪರ್ಯುಪಾಸತೆ. ನಿರ್ಗುಣ ಭಕ್ತಾಸ್ ಆರ್ ದೋಸ್ ಹೂ ಮೆಡಿಟೇಟ್ ಅಪಾನ್ ನಿರ್ಗುಣ ಈಶ್ವರ ವಿಚ್ ಇಸ್ ಕಾಲ್ಡ್ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮನ್, ಅದರ್ವೈಸ್ ಕಾಲ್ಡ್ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮನ್. ಅಂಡ್ ವೆನ್ ಇಟ್ ಕಮ್ಸ್ ಟು ನಿರ್ಗುಣಂ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ, ದ ವರ್ಡ್ ಉಪಾಸನ, ಮೆಡಿಟೇಷನ್ ವುಡ್ ಮೀನ್ ವಾಟ್? ಶ್ರವಣಂ, ಮನನಂ ಅಂಡ್ ನಿಧಿಧ್ಯಾಸನಂ. ವಿ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಸೀನ್ ದಿಸ್ ಅರ್ಲಿಯರ್. ಸೊ ನೋ ಒನ್ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಮೆಡಿಟೇಟ್ ಅಪಾನ್ ನಿರ್ಗುಣಂ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ವಿಥೌಟ್ ಗೋಯಿಂಗ್ ಥ್ರೂ ಶ್ರವಣಂ ಅಂಡ್ ಮನನಂ. And what is Nirguna Brahma? The definition is given here, which is Aksharam. Etva Aksharam. Aksharam. The imperishable one. The Aksharam means the imperishable one. And that is that Krishna. And the Nirguna Brahma. And which is Aksharam means imperishable. And Kshati means to perish. Aksharam means that which does not perish. Trikale api tishtati. The absolute reality, the one that stays through in all the 3 domains of time, past, present and future. And anirdeshyam, that which cannot be defined literally. So nirdesh means to point out, and anirdesh means what? The which cannot be pointed out. Nirdesh and anirdesh. So that which cannot be defined. So why it cannot be defined? Because definition is always in terms of what? In terms of some properties, some gunas. So, asadharano dharmaha lakshanam, referring to a specific property, that is the method of definition of anything. For example, if I say somebody is tall, that means what? Tallness is an extraordinary property which is not there in other people. Suppose all the people are tall and I say he is tall, so what does it mean? So, lakshanam should be asadharanam, uncommon. It should be unique. It should be specific for a particular person or entity. And dharma, dharma means property. A property which is unique to the object, that should be pointed out when you want to refer to something which is uncommon. It may be one or it may be many properties also. And in the case of Brahman, what happens? We cannot talk about any unique property at all, because Brahman has no property and no attributes. So, nir dharmakatvate, asadharano dharmaha nasti. For Brahman, there is no asadharana dharma, is not there, because nir dharmakatvate. So, it being propertyless, one cannot talk about any special property in the case of Brahman. So, anirdeshya. Why? Nirdharmakatvat. Being propertyless, being nirgunam. Okay, if it cannot be defined by words, okay, at least can we say it by, refer it to by sense organs, because some of them cannot be explained. For example, suppose someone wants to know how will be the taste of a particular dish, say laddu or something. If I say it is sweet and write it on a piece of paper, it is sweet, and the other person has never tasted sweet at all earlier, it can never be explained to that person in words. If we cannot define, then we can make that person eat some sweet and taste it. Some laddu he can eat and taste it. So that which is undefinable could be experienceable. Similarly, can Brahman be tasted or experienced, touched, felt? Krishna says, avyaktam. It is beyond all sense organs. Sarva jnanendriya agocharam. It's unmanifest. Okay. But there are some things which cannot be defined by words, cannot be tasted by sense organs, but which can be conceived by mind. That is possible. For example, love, emotion. They can be conceived by mind. How will love or compassion look like? Can we define them? It cannot be experienced by the sense organs also, but the mind knows. Emotion. What is love? What is compassion? What is sorrow? Dukkham. The mind knows. So words cannot define, sense organs cannot perceive, but the mind can conceive, it can feel. Then can we at least then feel Brahman through our mind? No, it is achintyam, incomprehensible, inconceivable. Therefore, all the pramanas have been negated. Shabda pramana is negated. Pratyaksha pramana is negated, and even intellect also is negated. So it is anumanadi pramanas also will not work in case of Brahman. In short, it is beyond the scope of all organs, whether they are sense organs, mind or intellect. So it is sarva pramana atitam, beyond the scope of all instruments of knowledge. So if it is not available for all of them, then someone said it is not there. It's not available for any of them. Then how it can be comprehended? So it's not there. But Krishna says, it is sarvagatam, sarvatragam. Sarvatragam means at least other things are, you know, here, there, somewhere else. But Brahman is sarvatragam, sarvatragachati. It is all pervading. It is everywhere. So, desha paricheda rahitam. From spatial limitation, it is beyond spatial limitation. Then kutastham, it is free from changes, free from time-wise change, like growing, decaying, all these shadvikaras, which are all, for example, for us, asti, jayate, vardate, viparinamate, apakshiyate, vinashyati, all these sixfold modifications are there for us. They are all time-wise. That means it does not have time-wise limitation, time-wise changes also. So, previously it is space-wise changeless, now it is time-wise also, it is changeless. And achalam, achalam means immovable. Immovable means chalana rahitam, gati rahitam. Why? Because sarvagat, sarvatragatvat, because we already told travel or movement is what? From one place to a place where one is not. Because it is there present everywhere, there is no movement. It cannot go from one place to another, like for example, akasha, okay? Because akasha is everywhere, space. And so it is dhruvam. When kutastham and achalam are put together, it is called dhruva. When it has no time-wise change, it is called kutastham. When it has no space-wise change, it is called achalam. But when you want to combine time-wise change and space-wise change, then we can use one single word called dhruvam. So, kutastham plus achalam is dhruvam, it is changeless. And the beauty is what? Those people who meditate upon such Brahman, the one that cannot be thought of, then, you know, you see the contradiction now? Meditate upon the Brahman which cannot be thought of. How do you do that? You have to think of something to meditate upon that. But now Krishna is telling meditate upon that Brahman which cannot be thought of. How is it possible? We should remember, here dhyana meditation means soham bhavena dhyayet. You don't meditate looking for a Brahman, but meditate upon Brahman as soham bhavena, as myself, as oneself. Because if you take the definition of Brahman, it will fit in only one thing. That is what? That is I, the Brahman, myself. What cannot be conceived? The conceiver cannot be conceived. All other things I can objectify and conceive. But the subject cannot be conceived, the conceiver. And what cannot be thought of? The thinker cannot be thought of. What cannot be pointed out? The pointer cannot be pointed out. The finger can point out everything except the finger itself. And so, if we look into this definition, then what happens? We can clearly say, we can see, Tat Brahma Aham Asmi. ஐ ஆம் தட் பிரம்மன் மை செல்ஃப். சோ பிரம்மாஹம் இத்தி உபாசதே, பிரம்மாஹம் இத்தி உபாசே உபாசதே. சோ அபேதேன உபாசதே, வித்தவுட் எனி பேதம், வித்தவுட் எனி டிஃபரன்ஸ், ஒன் ஷுட் மெடிடேட் அப்பான். ஓகே, அண்ட் இன் த நெக்ஸ்ட் ஸ்லோகா கிருஷ்ணா டாக்ஸ் அபவுட் தி குவாலிஃபிகேஷன்ஸ் நெசசரி ஃபார் அக்ஷர உபாசனா that of that Brahman. So endowed with these qualifications alone, one can meditate upon Brahman. That's what he says. So what are the qualifications or preparations? He says, Indriya Gramam Sanniyamya, having very well withdrawn, Sanniyamya, having very well withdrawn the sense organs, the family. Niyamya means withdrawn. Samniyamya means very well, totally withdrawn. Withdrawn what? Indriya Gramam. Gramam means Samuhaha, the group. So, Indriya Samuhaha means all the five sense organs. One has to withdraw all the five sense organs. And how to withdraw the sense organs? That requires another qualifications. Sarvatra Samabuddhayaha. By having Samabuddhi towards all things in creation, equanimity of outlook. That means what? There should not be any Raga or Dvesha. Raga Dvesha is Vishamabuddhi. But we want to put Samabuddhi. So, Ragadvesha should not be there. A Buddhi free from Ragadvesha is called Samabuddhi. And a Buddhi with Ragadvesha is called Visamabuddhi. Because once there is Ragadvesha, the mind will run towards those objects only. Whatever I like, whatever I don't like. Either it is bothered about those things it likes, or it is complaining about those things which mind doesn't like. So, most of the time, our mind is preoccupied with Raga Vishayas or Dvesha Vishayas. Therefore, as long as Raga Dvesha is there, mental preoccupation cannot be avoided. All the time, I'll be thinking about something or the other. And so, Raga Dvesha must go away. And for that, what is needed? Samabuddhi is needed. And what is the Samabuddhi? Sarvatra Brahma Darshanam Eva. Differences belong to all names and forms, nama rupas. Content is one, that is Chaitanyam is one and the same. So if a thing is attractive, it belongs to nama rupa part of it. If another person is creating aversion, again it belongs to what? Nama rupa. So dvesha is nama rupa, likes are nama rupa, and all the differences belong to only nama rupa, but the content, substance is only one. So, Vidya Vinaya Sampanne Brahmane Gabi Hastini Shunichaiva Sopakecham Panditaha Samadarshinaha. We saw it in chapter 5. So, this is Sukhan Mitrar Yudhasinam Adhyastha Tveshabandushum Sadushvapicha Papeshum Samabuddhir Visishyate. We saw in 6th chapter also. One who has an equal outlook of friend and foe, comrade and stranger, etc. So that person has Samabuddhi. Then how can I have Samatvam in all of them? Because they all are different. By knowing that the differences are all in the Nama Rupa, name and form only. The content Atma is the same in and through all of them. That is the knowledge. We should not ask how to do it. Because remember, the student has already done Shravanam and Mananam. So it is for that student. We are talking about Nididhyasanam stage here in 12th chapter now. Therefore, the student is already aware of Atma Anatma Viveka. He knows the difference between the eternal and ephemeral. And so he knows all these basic things. So Sarvatra Samabuddhayaha. When mind is Samam, Ragadvesha is not there. When it is in equanimity, there is no Ragadvesha. When Ragadvesha is not there, it is easier to withdraw the sense organs. And then another important qualification is what? Sarvabhuta Hiteratha. Very important thing. Being committed or interested in the welfare of all beings. This is universal love. Showing compassion towards all beings. Atmopamyena sarvatra samam pashyati yorjuna. Sukham va yadiva dukkham sayogi paramo mataha. That's what Krishna said. What sorrow I do not want. I do not wish it for anybody else. Whatever sorrow I do not want for myself, I don't wish it for anybody else also. Even for the greatest enemy, I don't wish. I should not wish for that. And whatever I wish for myself, that I should wish for all other things also. So, sukham me sarvada bhuyat. Na sukham sarvesham api ma bhuyat. Whatever sukham I want, let everybody enjoy that. Whatever dukkham I do not want, let nobody get that dukkham also. That is what? Tachyam yora vrinimehe gatum yajnayam. So, in that particular mantra, Shannayeti dvipate shanchatushpade. Dvipade and shatushpade. Even all the two-legged and four-legged, you know, creation creatures. Let there be happiness in all of them. So, that is our prayer. So, this mind has to be developed. That is called Sarva Bhuta Hite Ratattva. This indicates all the values which we are going to see in detail later. So, these two shlokas are nothing but a summary of the following chapters. Krishna is going to talk about various values in the following chapters. This is giving the essence of those values. Because we said actually from chapter 13 onwards, Jnana Yoga is going to be the topic. That means what? Nirguna Brahma is the topic from the 13th chapter. So for that, this is the preview. Like for example, in movies also we have preview, you know. So Krishna's preview of chapter 13 to 15. For those three chapters, this is a preview. There Krishna will talk about the values per se. Here this is a preview of that. So in the 13th chapter, he is going to say Amanitva, Madambitva, Mahimsa, Kshantihi, Arjavam, Acharyopasanam, Shaucham. All those things he is going to talk about that. About 20 and odd values are going to be talked about at that time. All these values are hinted in this one word, Sarva Bhuta Hite Rataha. Up to this, the qualifications have been talked about by Krishna. And those Nirguna Bhaktas, endowed with these qualifications, they meditate upon such a Nirgunam Brahma. And will attain what phalam they will attain? Te maam eva prapnuvanti. That eva, that has to be actually read with three places, with three different emphasis. Te eva maam prapnuvanti. Te eva means they alone will attain me. Then, te maam eva prapnuvanti. They will attain me alone. They alone will attain me. They will attain me alone, not anything else. And te maam prapnuvanti eva. They definitely will come to me only. So, this is the palam of Nirguna Upasana. Remember, it is nothing but Vedanta, Shravana, Manana, Nididhyasanam only. Nirguna Upasana is nothing but Vedanta, Shravana, Manana, Nididhyasanam. So, there is no other Nirguna Upasana other than Vedanta, Shravana, Manana, Nididhyasanam. Should be very clear. Shloka 5. Klesho dikatarastesham avyaktasakta chetasam. Klesho dikatarastesham avyaktasakta chetasam. Avyaktahi gatir dukkham dehavadbiravapyate. Avyaktahi gatir dukkham dehavadbiravapyate. So this Nirguna Upasana alone is the highest level of bhakti, because this alone directly leads to moksha or liberation. So Jnana Yoga Bhakti, Nirguna Bhakti, Akshara Bhakti, all are synonyms. Is the highest type of bhakti, because this alone directly leads to liberation. And so Krishna already has said, Udharaha sarvayevaite jnanitu atmaiva mematam. In the 7th chapter we already saw, among all types of bhaktas, jnani bhakta is the superior most bhakta. Jnanitu. So that is the superior most bhakta, because there is no division between jnani and myself. Because the logic is what? Closer a person, dearer is that person to us. We have explained this actually when we read this portion in the 7th chapter. When we love a person, what do we say? He is close to me. That's what we say. So greater the love, closer the person. Greatest love is when there is no difference at all between me and the other person. So, in total identity alone, there can be infinite love. That is what in Chaitanya Upanishad says, Yada he vaisha etasminnadris etasminnu daramantaram kurute. Udaramantaram kurute atatasya bhayam bhavati. Even if there is a slightest difference between me and the other person, that love is not pure love. even if there's a slightest difference. And so Jnani alone is Advaitam. And so he is the greatest Bhakta. Krishna himself accepts that Nirguna Bhakti is not that easy at all. Krishna says very well, very clearly. Because what are the qualifications for somebody to have Nirguna Bhakti? Sarva Bhuta Hite Rataha. That itself is a problem. You should look at everything, every object in creation with equanimity of outlook. Because it is very, very difficult. Most people have problems with their immediate neighbor itself to start with. And all other qualifications, sarvatra samabuddhayaha, very difficult to have. Then sanyamya indriya gramam, next problem, attachment to, all these, various things. However much, the immigration may say this and that, customs people, we still want to bring all this avakai pickles and all. Somehow we want to sneak it out. It's very difficult to control the indriyas. Taste cannot be controlled that easily. So it appears to be extremely difficult thing for anybody to practice. Krishna himself accepts that. For what purpose Krishna accepts? So that he can come down a little bit. If he says only Nirguna Bhakti is needed, everybody will walk away. So he wants to make people get interested. So he says, if Nirguna Bhakti is not possible, I will come down. I will compromise. I will give some allowance. If that also is not possible, I will come down even more. Krishna really wants us somehow to come into this bhakti. Like he is going to come down actually four steps. The highest step has been talked about already about that. And Krishna says it is the toughest step also. Nirguna bhakti is the toughest step also, Krishna says. But just because it is difficult, you cannot skip it, because that is the only means to liberation. If somebody wants to get moksha, Nirguna Bhakti is the only way. Jnana Yoga is the only way. So we don't say Jnanam is tough, therefore skip it. Instead we say Jnanam is tough, therefore prepare well. We have to get ourselves prepared very well. There is no question of skipping Jnanam. Because Jnanam vaya moksha, Jnanam vina mokshaha nasti. Without Jnanam, one cannot get moksha at all. So, Nirguna Jnanam vinam mokshaha nasti. No moksha at all without Nirguna Jnanam. In Vedanta, the qualifications prescribed are not that easily attainable. That is difficult. Actually, in Vedanta, the qualifications are more difficult than understanding Vedanta itself. Vedanta understanding is maybe fairly simple. But the qualifications to gain self-knowledge, that is very difficult. They are very tough. So the subject matter is what? Ati sukshmam, very subtle. That's why very difficult to comprehend. And so Krishna says, akshara upasana or nirguna upasana is kleshaha. Kleshaha. So it is difficult. And he says, no doubt karma requires kleshaha. Karma, doing action, also requires difficulty, because it is all, any ritual you want to do, it requires money. The moment you bring a priest, you have to book it from a temple or somewhere, book him from a temple, give him dakshina. You have to prepare so many things, buy so many things, all that things. Getting a priest, materials, all those things will be there. So karma also, rituals also involves klesham. Upasana also involves klesham. Everything has difficulty. But nirguna bhakti is kleshaha adhikataraha. Adhikataraha means more difficult, comparatively more difficult compared to other difficulties. The difficulty is more for whom? Tesham. For those people, what type of people? Avyakta, asakta, avyakta, asakta, chetasam. For those who are fixing their mind upon the avyaktam, nirguna brahman. For those people who fix their mind on this avyaktam, nirgunam brahman, for them it is very difficult. So, avyakte brahmani asaktam chetaha yeshamte. For those people who are trying to fix up their mind upon the avyaktam brahma, it is very, very difficult. So, the reason itself is included here is because Krishna uses the word avyaktam brahma. Avyaktam brahma. Avyaktam means what? Unmanifest. Unmanifest means pancha indriya agocharam, beyond all the five sense organs. So it does not have form, color, taste, touch, sound, none of those attributes. So when none of these properties are available, how can a person think of meditating upon that Brahman? Because you don't have any quality at all. So kleshaha adhikataraha. And why is this kleshaha? Why is that akshara upasana is so difficult? Krishna gives the reason here. He says it is because of dehatma buddhihi. the identification with our own body, body identification. So here the idea conveyed is an interesting idea here. For example, you know, see how you look upon Ishvara will be exactly the same as how you look upon yourself. If you look at yourself as a physical personality, then you will look upon God also as a physical personality. We have hands and legs. We picturize the God also as having hands and legs. So as I look upon myself, I look upon the Lord also. If I am identified with Annamaya Kosha, I look upon God also as Annamaya. If I look upon myself as the Sukshma Shariram standpoint, that is like Shakti, Jnanam, all those kinds of things, emotion, then I look upon the Lord also, Sarvajnaha, Sarva Shaktiman. That's what I look upon the Lord also. So now as I withdraw more and more from Annamaya, Pranamaya, Manomaya and all, and when I come to my innermost core, that is Atma is Chaitanyam, then what am I now? Aham Stula Sukshma Karana Sharirat Vetiriktaha. When I come to that subtlest level, then I am beyond the grass body, the subtle body, the Karana Sharira also. So I am the consciousness, different from the physical body, the subtle body, and the causal body even. Then how do I look upon Ishvara also? Ishvara also is not Krishna or Rama bodies. If I am different from my body, Ishvara also is different from his body. If I am different from my mind, Ishvara also should be different from his mind. If I am the Chaitanya Swarupam, Ishvara also is what? Chaitanya Swarupam eva. As I am, so is Ishvara. This is true even in our common life also. If you are body oriented, for example, some people always bothered about having, you know, correct weight, you know, height, appearance. A lot of people are very conscious about all this. Nothing wrong with that. That's absolutely fine. But people are conscious about it, some of them. So for example, if I look at somebody and that person's, you know, when I am body conscious, so whomsoever I see, what will be the first thing that I will notice? If somebody's nose is longer, for example, because all the time I am nose oriented, my nose is either short or longer, whatever it is, I will look at the nose only first. Look, for example, if you take the gobbler, the guy, you know, the shoe shine, if you look at this guy, his first sight, eyesight will be on your slippers or shoes only. All the time he sees only the slippers of people. Actually, it was interesting. Once when I was walking in Madison Avenue in New York, there was a, you know, shoe shine. And that guy, he looked at my shoe and he said he wants to, you know, shine it. And, you know, I was walking. That man became Vedantin. Hey, what are we taking with us? Come on. He's asking me. So he wants to shine my shoes. And because he looks at shoes only, there are so many people walking with so many other, but his interest is in the shoes. So what I am preoccupied with, that alone I will see outside also. So same way, if someone, you know, is dress conscious, they will always look at the other person, you know, what sari she is wearing or what necklace she wears, all these kinds of things. So if you are not at all dress conscious, even after half hour, 1 hour of talk, that person may not even remember what dress the other person was wearing. So what I am thinking of constantly, that alone I see outside. So if I am physically oriented, I look upon the Lord as a physical person. If I like love, I look upon Lord as an embodiment of love. If I like power, I look upon Lord as a personification of Shakti, power. If I know Aham Chaitanyam, I see Lord also as Chaitanyam. As Tvam Padartham is, so is Tat Padartham in Tattvamasi. If Tvam Padartha is not clear, Tat Padartha also will not be clear. So when we are doing Vedanta Vichara, what exactly we are doing? Even though we are doing Vedanta, we are very strongly body oriented only. Even though in the Vedanta classes, we are still body oriented. And so when Ishvara is described as Satyam, Jnanam, Anantam, Ashabdam, Arupam, Arasam, Agandam and all that, we are not able to conceive because we are solidly sitting in the physical body. Okay, we will give another example also. For example, take the three avasthas, the three states of consciousness. During the Jagrat Avastha, the wakeful stage, what do I body? The Stula Shariram. and what experiences the Stula Prapancham. When I go to this Sukshma Shariram in dream, what type of world I experience? I no more have the Stula Prapancha, I experience the Sukshma Prapancha, the subtle universe. And when I am in Sushupti Avastha, I experience Karana Prapancha, the causal, all things are resolved. And why are we seeing this? So as I am, so I see. That is the principle. So I am in Atma, then I'll see Brahman. So Drishtim Jnanamayam Kritva Pashyet Brahmamayam Jagat. Therefore, what is the obstacle for Nirguna Jnanam? Deha Abhimanam is the obstacle. Body orientation, association with the physical body, that alone is the obstacle for Nirguna Bhakti. So Deha Vadbihi, Krishna says, Deha Vadbihi, Dehavan, here should be taken as Deha Abhimanavan, the one who is interested in his body orientation. By those people who have got Deha Abhimanam, Dehatma Buddhi, by those people, Avyakta Gatihi. The goal, Gatihi means goal. The goal of Nirgunam Brahma. So for those people who have Deha Abhimanam, the goal of Nirgunam Brahma, Avapyate, is attained. How? Dukkham. With difficulty only they will attain. So, by those people who have got Dehabhimana, the goal of Nirguna Brahma is attained only with difficulty. That is, it is not easy for those people at all. That means, as long as there is Dehabhimana, Vedanta is difficult. It is not impossible, it is difficult. When the Dehabhimana becomes weaker, then Vedanta becomes stronger and easier. And we should remember, when we talk about Dehabhimana, body consciousness, through the Deha, through the body alone, there are a lot of Abhimanams also. It looks as though Dehabhimana is one Abhimana. It looks, when we say that Dehabhimana is only one Abhimana, that's what we think. But remember, when there is Putra Abhimana, my love for my child, that is also another type of Dehabhimana only. Because Putra is connected to you through what? Through body. Similarly, Grahabhimanam, I like my house, also Dehabhimanam only, because Graham is connected through my body. In fact, all mamakaras, all mindness, my belongings, my possessions, they are all connected through Dehabhimanam only. Whether it is Putra, whether it is Dhanam, whether it is Pashu, Dhanam, Kshetram, Graham, anything, position, power. How do we prove that? What is the logic? During Sushupti, deep sleep, when Dehabhimana is gone, there is no Putra Abhimana, there is no Patni Abhimana, Graha Abhimana, Caste Abhimana, none of those are there. You don't know even where you are sleeping. In deep sleep, you don't even know where you sleep. So, Jati, Niti, Kula, Gotra are all there only as long as this body consciousness is there. So, Krishna says, for those people who have those associations, Abhimanas, Avyakta Gatihi, the whole of Nirgunam Brahma is extremely difficult. Okay, but here we should remember, if it is extremely difficult, what should I do? Problem is that only. They say don't go to Vedanta, because it is extremely difficult. That's what they say. Our answer should be, if it is extremely difficult, I should not ask people to avoid it. We cannot avoid Vedanta because that is the only means to liberation. See the problem that the teacher of Vedanta has all the time? They should say that it is extremely difficult because that's truth. At the same time, they should not also say, give it up and do some japa or something else, some pujas. Because Vedanta is the only means for getting moksha. So, what should be the advice of the Vedantic teacher? He should say, it is extremely difficult, all right. At the same time, you cannot avoid it if you want moksha. So, what should be the advice? What is extremely difficult, you make it easy. That should be the teaching. One should not say avoid it, but one should make it easy. Then the next question will be what? How to make it easy? For that, there are ways. You have to acquire the sadhana chatushtaya sampattihi. Therefore, gradually get rid of this Dehabhimana. Remove the obstacles. Once the obstacles are removed, Vedanta will not be that difficult. Obstacles are the ones that stand in the way. Not only it will not be difficult, it will be even more enjoyable. In our tradition, so many people have spent their whole life in Vedanta. That means what? It is possible to enjoy Vedanta. If it is not possible to enjoy Vedanta, people will not spend their lifetime. If only we make ourselves fit for it. That is the only thing. So that requires a lot of effort on my part to become eligible. Jnanam is difficult. And so prepare and come to Jnanam. Then it will be easy. So if you say it will take a lot of time, let it take. We have no age limit for Jnanam at all. Why? Vedanta does not even put Janma limits. People can take even several Janmas to come Vedanta. So having got this human body, this human Janma, there is the question of age limit for Vedanta. So one can come slowly, no hurry at all also. But there is no way of skipping Vedanta. There is no shortcut to moksha. Shloka 6 and 7. Yetu sarvani karmani mayi sanyasya matparaha. Yetu sarvani karmani mayi sanyasya matparaha. Ananyenaiva yogena mam dhyayanta upasate. Ananyenaiva yogena mam dhyayanta upasate. Teshamaham samuddhartha mrityu samsara sagarat. Teshamaham samuddhartha mrityu samsara sagarat. Bhavami na chirat partha mayyaveshita chetasam. Bhavami na chirat partha mayyaveshita chetasam. So in the last three shlokas, that is shlokas 3 to 5, Krishna talked about akshara upasana or Vedanta vichara or nirguna bhakti or shravana mananidhyasanam as the highest bhakti. All these terms are all synonymous in usage. And Krishna also pointed out that it is very difficult for those who have the attachment to the body, dehabhimana. In fact, 99 plus percent of the people have this problem only. Because dehabhimana is something innate and natural. And everyone is born with that. Because everyone is born because of that only. One need not teach dehabhimana to anyone. I don't have to teach dehabhimana to anybody else at all. It is instinctive. It is natural. That means what? Nirguna bhakti is not available for majority of people because dehabhimana is natural to them. So what will be the question then? We have already told that it cannot be avoided because Vedanta is the only means to moksha. So what is the only method then? We have to prepare well so that Vedanta becomes easier. Even walking becomes difficult if one is not prepared to walk. 5 miles for people like us, maybe 5 miles of walking is very difficult. Whereas our forefathers, they walked maybe miles and miles. Why 5 miles? Even 2 miles may be difficult for us. So with anything, we need preparation. So the question is, our abhyasa. So how train myself for Vedanta Vichara? How to do that? And that training is given by Krishna in these two shlokas. And what is that? We just read. In fact, he is going to prescribe actually a series of training. And he will say, if it is not possible, come to the next lower step. Krishna is bargaining with us. First, nirguna bhakti, if it is not possible, I will give you some allowances. And some people will say, oh, Mr. Krishna, even that step is difficult for me. And he will say, okay. Then he will come down one more step. That will be the third step. And another step, fourth step. He will come down as much as possible to somehow woo the people to come into this line. So he will come down 4 steps. Even the lowest person can practice the lowest step. He will try to give that. And from the 4th step, he can go to 3rd, then to 2nd, and finally to Akshara Brahma Upasana, finally. So in these 2 shlokas, Krishna talks about the immediate lower step. If Nirguna Bhakti is not possible, next, what is that? He says, Virat Upasana is an ideal preparation for Nirguna Bhakti. So the immediate lower step is what? Virat Upasana or Vishwarupa Upasana. Meditation on the cosmic form of the Lord. We already saw the Vishwarupa Darshana Yoga already, which has been described in the 11th chapter. We may ask, how the Vishwarupa Upasana will help me? The beauty is this. When I look at the Vishwarupa, what do? I see the totality of creation. when the whole thing belongs to the Vishwarupa, the Lord, what about this body also? This also should belong to that. I cannot claim the body as separate from Vishwarupa because the body was part of the world before. After death also, it will become part of the world only. In between, the body is standing here separately perhaps. It is like the wave. Before, wave was one with the ocean. Afterward, the wave again becomes one with the ocean. In between, it got a Namarupa called the wave. Similarly, Annajayante, Annena Jivanti, Annam Prayanti Abhisham Vishanti. That's what Upanishad said. This belongs to the earth. Earth belongs to the Samashti Ishwara, the total. Similarly, the Pranavayu that moves in me again belongs to the Samashti Prana, the total Prana. So tell, what is mine I can claim as? None. As someone said, one person was crying, saying that he lost everything. And the other person asked, what did you have as your own? If you had possessed anything, then you can say you have lost. The land belonged to the Lord before. You misappropriated that land, put a line and said, it is my land. And afterwards, when it is gone back to the Lord, to the total, you say, I lost it. So when I see the totality, I will find that the Veshti Annamaya belongs to the Samashti Annamaya only. Veshti Pranamaya, individual Pranamaya, again belongs to the total Samashti Pranamaya. In short, Yetam Annamayam Atmanam Upasamhar. See, all the Veshtis, whatever we think as the individual, they all merge, belong to the total only. So in Taittiriya Upanishad, actually, it is talking about a Jnani. Taittiriya Upanishad. But even without coming to Atma Jnanam, seeing the totality will reduce Deha Abhimanam. And so Krishna prescribes Vishrupa Upasanam as a preparatory step for Vedanta Vichara. Vishrupa Upasana is the next step, one step down from Nirguna Bhakti. So he says, Yetu Sarvani Karmani Mai Sanyasya. Those people should dedicate all the action at my feet. Here we should carefully note that the word Sanyasya does not mean renunciation. Sanyasya. Normally, sanyasa means what? So, it renunciation. Here, it is not. It is dedicating. Dedicating to the Lord. So, those with Dehabhimana should dedicate their actions to me. Which action? Sarvani karmani. All the nitya karmas, naimittika karmas, even kamya karmas. Kamya karmas generally should be avoided. So, they all should be dedicated to the Lord. So, all karma should be dedicated to the Lord. That is why we say, Mamo Pata Samastadur Dekshaitvara, blah, blah. And finally say, Parameshwara Prithyattam, Marshriman Narayana Prithyattam. Everything as an arpanam to the Lord only. So, when Krishna says that it should be dedicated to me, what is that me? The Vishwarupa here. It's not Nirgunam Brahma or Krishna, Mr. Krishna. It is the Vishwarupa. So, Mayi. Mayi means Vishwarupe. They should not do any kamya karma at all, because they should be interested only in moksha, because that's what they are now here. And so, not doing any kamya karma, that means what? Without any selfish action, not doing any nishiddha karma, negative or evil actions, they should only do nitya naimittika karmas as regular duties. And that too should be dedicated to the Lord only. All nitya karmas, naimittika karmas also should be dedicated to the Lord. Okay, when they are doing that, what should be their goal? It can be only one. Matparaha, keeping me alone as the ultimate goal, they should do all these karmas. So, param. Param means the ultimate goal. Mat means me. So, keeping me or moksha as the ultimate goal, they should dedicate all their actions to me. Not only that, mam dhyayantaha upasate. They should also practice the worship of me. Upasate means worship. How? Mam dhyayantaha. Constantly thinking of me. That is the worship. That means when they are involved in all worldly activities, whatever worldly activity they are engaged in, how do they think of me? As an offering to me. Think, all these actions are done for the Vishwarupa's sake. I do offering all of them to Vishwarupa. And when they have nothing else to do, when they are sitting by themselves quietly without any activity, instead of worrying about this and that, they should learn to appreciate the Vishwarupa. Even while traveling in a train or bus, we can see the train will go through wonderful hills and valleys. along the shore. So many beautiful sights. They cannot do anything during their travel. But what they will do? They will buy some newspaper, and in the newspaper there will be some dirty news, and they will be sitting down and discussing that newspaper only, the dirty news. On the other hand, how nice it will be to look around and enjoy the beauty of Vishwarupa all around. So when I am free, I appreciate Vishwarupam. No charge, free it is. Because if you have to do, if you go to some temple here and there, then you have to stand in line to see the Lord. Here, no, it's freely available. That is why Swami Dayananda says, when you are born in this world, you are not born in 2-star, 3-star, 5-star hotel. You are born in a 1,000,000-star hotel. The entire universe is in front of you. So to see Vishwarupa, there is no line needed. Anywhere and everywhere we can see. So when I am inactive, I appreciate the Vishwarupa, how the vision should be enlarged, you know. When I am active, I dedicate my actions to Vishwarupa. So constantly my mind is in Vishwarupa only. Okay, then how should one do that? Ananyenaiva yogena. Ananyenaiva yogena. Here yoga refers to devotion. Literally it means fixing the mind, thinking of the Lord. Here thinking means devotion. So what type of devotion it is? Ananyenaiva, undivided devotion, with total devotion. We have talked about the total devotion actually in the 7th chapter. So, Eka Bhakti Hi Visishyate, we said, Tesham Jnani Nitya Yuktaham Eka Bhakti Visishyate Priyohi Jnani Nautyartham Aham Sachama Mama Priyaha. That's what we said at that time. Undivided devotion. That means what? There is no other goal other than this, other than the Lord. When there are two goals, the devotion could be divided. If one says moksha also, then it is not correct. It should be moksha only. That means for the sake of moksha, I am ready to give up anything and everything in life. For the sake of love. So in short, ananyenaiva yogena, that refers to vairagyam. I am ready to renounce everything for the sake of Lord. This is the preparation. If a person prepares this, what will happen to him? He will become qualified for nirguna bhakti. He is not going to get moksha yet. He will get qualified for nirguna bhakti, which is said actually in the next shloka. How Vishwarupa Upasana will work, or what is the prayojanam for it. And here the Lord says, I take the responsibility of those devotees since they have surrendered unto me. All those people have surrendered unto me. It becomes my responsibility to take care of them. So he says, Mayi Aveshita Chetasam. Mayi Aveshita Chetasam. Mayi Aveshita Chetasam. In the second line it says, those people who have totally fixed their minds in me. Mayi. Mayi means Vishwarupe. Aveshita means Prayukta. Chetaha. Chetaha means this Yesham. Tesham. So all these, their minds, they put it. So they have totally fixed their mind unto me. Since they have become totally my dependents, it becomes my responsibility to take care of them. So he says, Tesham Aham Samuddhartha. I will lift them up. Tesham Aham Samuddhartha. Samuddhartha means lift them. So I will lift them from where? Mrityu Samsara Sagarat. From the ocean of Samsara. And what type of Samsara? Mrityu Samsaraha. Mrityu Yuktaha Samsaraha. A Samsara which involves mortality. So I lift them up from that samsara that involves mortality. Because in samsara, the most terrible thing is what? Is mrityuhu. So Krishna is specially pointing out that here. Like for example, we say in the forest, the tiger is there. Means what? There are so many other animals are also there. But tiger is the terrible thing. Similarly, in the samsara sagara, varieties of things are there. But what is the most terrible one? Mrityuhu. And that also not one, punarepi maranam, punarepi jananam, again and again. So, mrityu yukta samsara sagarat aham samuddharta. I will lift them up. Okay, how long it will take? He says, don't worry, I am omnipotent. I can lift many people simultaneously. So, he says, nachirat, before long, soon, shigrameva. I will certainly lift them up and take them out of samsara. Bhavami. Bhavami means I become. So that's what he says. okay, here also we have to make an inquiry, here an analysis, because people may think that is fine, since the Lord will lift me up, I can, if I surrender, then I can avoid this Akshara Upasana or Vedanta Vichara, because Lord is going to lift me up, so no problem, right? Somehow we have to avoid Vedanta, because that's what a lot of people think, because Vedanta is either boring or difficult. Remember, when the Lord says He will lift up, what does He mean? It is not physical lifting up and putting into moksha. He is not going to lift somebody and then put him in moksha. No. Because ultimately, Jnanadeva Kaivalyam. We should not forget that at all. Only through Jnanam one can get moksha. Then what do we mean by the Lord lifting us up? It means the Lord will see to it that you will get Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampattihi Chitta Shuddhi. He will give. Moksha, the Lord cannot give moksha, but He will provide the conditions for Atma Jnanam. By our sincerity, we can gain Chitta Shuddhi, Chitta Ekagrata, we can go to Shravanam, Mananam, all those we can do. The Lord will give Chitta Shuddhi a nice guru. And if no other guru is available, He Himself will come as guru. So Bhagavan giving liberation means what? The Lord giving the conditions for Vedanta Vichara. And the Vedanta Vichara, who should do? The Lord cannot do. If I want moksha, I should do. If one is hungry, Lord can give food only. A nice plate He can give perhaps. He can even push it into the mouth. I should only swallow. Similarly also, by Lord giving liberation means what? He will purify the mind, provide a guru, provide conditions for Vedanta Vichara, all that He can bless us with. And thereafter, what will He do? Etvaksharam anirdeshyam avyaktam paryupasate. Akshara Upasana has to be done. It will not be difficult then, because the Lord has purified the mind already. Therefore, this Vishwarupa Bhakta will happily take Akshara Upasana, and then he will attain liberation. And so Vishwarupa Bhakta gets liberated means what? Through Akshara Upasana, he gets liberation. Through Nirguna Bhakti, that we have to supply. And so Arjuna, take to Vishwarupa Bhakti, that is what he says in the 8th shloka, in the next shloka.
Maye vamana adatva, mayi buddhim niveshaya, maye vamana adatva, mayi buddhim niveshaya, nivasishyasi mayeva, ata urdvam na samshayaha, nivasishyati mayeva, ata urdvam na samshayaha.
So when we say therefore means what for? Since Vishwarupa Upasana will help one to attain liberation by the blessing of the Lord, therefore Arjuna, you also take to Vishwarupa Upasana. So if you find Akshara Upasana is difficult, if Nirguna Upasana is difficult, take to Vishwarupa Upasana. So Mayeva Mana Adatsva, fix your mind upon me alone. Mayeva, me. Me means what? Me. Vishwarupe Mayi Manaha Adatsva. The Vishwarupa of me. Mayi buddhim niveshaya. Fix your buddhi, the intellect also upon me. So Krishna separately says manaha and buddhihi. Manaha stands for what? The emotional personality in me. Your love, all those things. Show all those emotions to Lord. As some bhakta is supposed to have said, you know, you have to get rid of the kama krodha, these, all those things. And if you want to have them, you can have them, but direct them all towards the Lord. You know, let the kama be there for the Lord. Let the raga be there, attachment be there. For whom? For the Lord. Similarly, krodha also be there towards the Lord. Oh Lord, why are you making moksha so difficult for me? Why are you not giving me sadhana chatushtaya sampatti? Get your krodha directed towards Lord and try to get them. Therefore, if you want to have emotions, let them all be directed towards the Lord. That is why in our culture, you find all the art, all connected to the religion. If a person has a painting skill, he did not paint rubbish. He painted all Puranic stories and all that. And a dancer, the dance also was also directed towards the Lord only. Similarly, sculpture, music, these are all the capacity of the mind. This is called fixing the mind, the emotion upon the Lord. Even when they wanted to cry, it was also directed towards the Lord only. Gopika Gitam. That is fixing the mind on the Lord, the emotional personality called the bhakti. We can see Shankaracharya himself excelling in both. When he writes, you know, Brahma Sutra Bhashya, he will find that he has a very strong intellect, great logic, all connected with Brahman.
But the very same Shankaracharya, when he comes to Shivananda Lahari or Saundarya Lahari, he says, why Tharka and all those things at all? He says in Shivananda Lahari, Kadava Kailase Kanaka Mani Sauge Sagaganaihi, Kanaka Mani Sauge Sagaganaihi. Let us all go to Kailasa and sing the glory of Lord. That's what he says. There we find that he becomes a simple bhakta and pours his emotion, devotion to a Saguna Ishvara. That means what? He is equally grown up in his mind and intellect, because he will know that everything is only Nama Rupa. Sarvam Kalu Idam Brahma. He knows extremely well. Thus, mind also is fixed in the Lord, and so the intellect. So both must be there. So Krishna says, Mayi Manaha Adatsva. May your emotions be turned towards me. Mayi buddhim niveshaya. Let this devotion be based on understanding, on your buddhi. Let it not be a blind assertion, blind crying or shedding tears. Blind singing and dancing is no good. Let it be based on understanding, on your buddhi. And what is understanding? That Lord represents the totality. The jiva represents the individual. The individual is dependent on the total. Individual is born out of the total, sustained by the total, and goes back unto the total. All this understanding should be there. Just as a wave is an individual, ocean is the total. Wave is born out of the ocean, sustained by the ocean, finally goes back and merges into ocean. Therefore, there is no wave other than ocean. Similarly, there is no jiva other than Ishvara. Annadvai praja prajayante, all the Vesti Samashti Aikyam of Taittiriya Upanishad, we can bring them here. Except Atma Brahma Aikyam, all the Vesti Samashti Aikyam cannot be brought here. Because it is Vishwarupa Upasana. Yes, Saguna Vishwarupa Upasana also is Saguna Upasana. We mentioned it many times during our Vishwarupa Yoga topic. So if you fix your mind and intellect on me, what will be the phalam? Mayi eva nivasishyati. Then you will be ever living in me alone. You will never be separate from me. Because where is Vishwarupam? If it is in an idol, in a temple, you can be with the deity and away also. If it is in a temple. But if your deity is Vishwarupam, where is it available? Where it is not available? That should be the question. Since it is everywhere, there is no question of going from Vishwarupa. I am part of it. So you will never miss me at all. You will never feel the pangs of separation at any time. Atha urdhvam. Thereafter, after fixing your mind and intellect upon me, you will never miss me. Because wherever you go, there I am. Na samshayaha. There is no doubt at all about it. So here Shankaracharya, he gives a small difference meaning. The word atha urdhvam, he takes as Marana Anantaram, in which case we have to take it as Krama Mukti. If you constantly think of me and die, thinking of me only at the time of death also, then naturally you will go to where? Brahmaloka. We already explained this in the 8th chapter. You will go to Brahmaloka and there you will do Vedanta Shravana, Vedanta Vichara. Brahmaji himself may teach you and then one can get liberation. So Shankaracharya takes it as Krama Mukti. We can take it also as himself always thinking of the Lord, and in this Janma itself, he may come to Akshara Upasana, Nirguna Bhakti and become a Jivan Mukta, or he can get liberation and he can go to, you know, Brahma Loka and get liberation from there also. So with this Shloka, the second step is also over. So the first step is what? Akshara Upasana or Nirguna Bhakti, which is a direct means of liberation. So if a person is unfit for Akshara Upasana, one should come to the second step, which is Vishwarupa Upasana. Okay, now suppose the second step itself is too high. So Krishna says, O Arjuna, if Vishwarupa Upasana is too much for you, I will come down one more step. So first step is from Shlokas 3 to 5. Second step is from Shlokas 6 to 8. In the 9th Shloka, Krishna will take us to the third step, which we will see in the next webinar. Yo veda dau swara prokto vedante cha pratishtitah tasya prakriti leena sege parasamaheshwara ha sri krishna arpanamastu.